Welcome, everyone. It's time for another Marshalltown Icon Show. We have Val Roff hosting. Val, of course, our Convention and Visitors Bureau Director. And welcome back, Valerie.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for filling in for me.
Absolutely.
For a couple
it was fun.
Marshalltown Icon spots. I appreciate that. And today we're excited to, we're going to feature the Marshalltown Public Library. Libraries are always an icon in our communities. And today we have Director Sarah Rosenblum with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the Marshalltown Public Library and put kind of a timeline together and talk about all the great things that are even going on today. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Oh, well, thanks, Val. I'm happy to be here today.
So let's go ahead and get started. Let's not waste any time in sharing that when the first library was created here in Marshall County.
Okay. Well, back in 1892, a group of women got together and thought Marshalltown was ready for a public library. And under the General Federation of Women's Clubs, they organized the Marshall County Library Association. They petitioned the Board of Supervisors for a room in the courthouse. So the first library was actually housed in the courthouse. Funds were raised and a subscription library opened on August 6, 1892. So that means next year we'll be celebrating 125 years of library service in Marshalltown.
125 years of library service. Wow, we're really fortunate.
We are. And I think people recognize that, you know, for a town to grow, they needed a library. In 1898, the citizens of Marshalltown voted to maintain a free public library, and they accepted the books that from the Library Association and also $1,500 to start the public library. Then, in 1902, the Carnegie Library was built at the corner of Center and State Streets with a donation of $30,000 from Andrew Carnegie and a gift of land from the city. And you think about the fact that Andrew Carnegie helped fund over 2,000 public libraries across this country and really made public libraries what they are today. In 1974, the library addition was built with private funding in memory of Mrs. Ethel Leese. And it was really needed. The library was growing and expanding, and they definitely needed the space. In 2000, planning began for a new modern library to serve the community. The new library would have double the space of the Carnegie Library, and it would be all on one level. The campaign, A New Library for a New Century, resulted in the first gold LEED certified library in the state of Iowa. With a small grant of seed money, the library staff, the trustees, the friends of the library, and other volunteers, and many, you know, citizens received a $1 million grant from the Martha Ellen Tye Foundation, and then successfully secured voter approval of a $5 million bond issue in April of 2006, which passed with a 70% yes vote. And I know that was prior to my arrival, but I read the scrapbook and I've seen all the articles, and I know it was a long process and many people got involved, but it was a wonderful thing. And then also during that period, the state's Vision Iowa Board committed a $1.2 million community attraction and tourism grant. And that was the largest amount then provided to an Iowa library. And it was conditioned on local matching funds, and our community stepped up. Some 800 donors, including the city and the county, contributed $2 million. Local employer Fisher Controls donated the primary site. Lennox Industries donated all the heating and cooling material. Really, it is a community library and built by the community. This December, the library will turn 8 years old. So we're coming up on our 2 millionth checkout of library materials. We host over 15,000 community members in our meeting rooms every year. We serve all ages, from babies and toddler story time to homebound delivery for folks who can't make it to the library. And of course, we're open virtually 24 hours a day. With our central location and great parking, we host visitors and meetings from all over the state. We have ebooks, audiobooks on CD for commuters, and downloadable music. And we still have a great collection of books. Books are still our primary brand at the library. Don't let anybody tell you, people are still reading books. With the passage of our library levy last fall, we're able to restore Sunday hours to the library, and that helps us better serve the community and maintain the library building.
That's a lot of great information in the first 8 minute segment. Thank you, Sarah. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for our second segment of the Marshalltown Icons.
Marshalltown is the perfect destination for fabulous fall activities. There are dozens of activities going on in Marshalltown. Gather your friends and enjoy autumn events through November. celebrate the life and big screen success of Gene Seberg at the Orpheum Theater November 4th and 5th. Take a trip back in time and celebrate the history, nostalgia, warmth, and simplicity of holidays gone by at the premier event of the holiday season in Marshalltown, the Downtown Holiday Stroll on Saturday, November 19th. Tour historic downtown Marshalltown as you've never seen it before with vendors, classic decor, costumes, and entertainment to kick off the Central Iowa holiday season. Also on that Saturday, celebrate the Marshall County Courthouse 130th anniversary. Follow the history, the magic, and the wonder of Marshalltown and much of Central Iowa at events throughout the region. For more information on these and many more events, go to the Marshalltown Convention and Visitors Bureau website, visit marshalltown.org.
As a deputy sheriff, my duty is to protect Iowans. As a state senator, my duty is to protect Iowans, especially those who need our help the most. I've supported the use of medical cannabis oil for folks with epilepsy and other extreme medical conditions. We've also passed laws to increase penalties for those who commit domestic abuse and those who abuse our elderly and our children. And finally, I'm standing up against Governor Branstad and his privatizing of mental health and the Medicaid programs. I'm Steve Sodders. With your vote this election, you can help me stand up for all Iowans. Paid for by Sodders for Senate.
Get that dirty yard work done without getting your hands dirty with Wells Lamont Chore Gloves. Hardware Hank is offering a great deal on large or extra large gloves. The polyester and cotton lining helps to keep your hands from getting cut or dirty. Get down to your local Hardware Hank to get these Wells Lamont gloves and be prepared for all those fall and winter projects.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware.
And welcome back. It's our Marshalltown Icon Show with Val Ruff.
Thank you, Kyle. So today we're featuring the Marshalltown Public Library, and our guest today is Director Sarah Rosenblum. And Sarah has shared some amazing timeline of the history of our public library here, dating back to 1892, in which it was on the second floor of the Marshall County Courthouse. So you know, Sarah, you have shared with us the timeline through today and the amazing library and that we are so fortunate to have in our community. And let's talk a little bit about your volunteers and how important those are to the work that you do.
Well, we are very lucky. We have a wonderful volunteer coordinator, Diane Lemker, and she has a great band of volunteers. She's in the last year, we've doubled the number of volunteers. We have volunteens in the summer that are immeasurably important to our summer reading program. But then we have volunteers that do everything from shell books to help with the clipping file for all of our wonderful articles about the library to working in the library prairie. So if you're interested in being a volunteer, please let us know. Call the library and talk to Diane, and she'll set up an appointment for you to come in and talk about doing some volunteer work.
And the volunteers are so important to a lot of work, to all of the, you know, the municipal entities here in the community. And so, you know, I know that the volunteers are very important to the chamber work, and we just probably don't thank our volunteers enough for the things they do for our organization. So now, speaking of the Friends of the Library, if anybody wanted to, let's just use an example. If anybody wanted to make like a memorial contribution, or if they wanted to make a contribution to something specific to the library, how is that done?
We have a wonderful wonderful Friends of the Library group. They, you know, have worked long and hard for the library. So I would urge you to join the Friends as a member, but also if you'd like to donate a book, many of our civic clubs will donate a book in honor of their outgoing president. Many times when we lose a resident in our community, we'll get books donated and we put a book plate. And also please think about if you're doing your planned giving and you're maybe working on your estate, the library is a wonderful resource and it has such a lasting impact when we get those funds. A lot of times those funds really allow us to do those extra things to enhance the library, both the collection and programming and all the things that we offer to the community.
That's great news, Sarah. Thank you for sharing that. And what that made me think about something that just recently happened to the library is that you've now extended your hours to...
Yes, we have. Due to the fact the community stepped up and voted yes on our library levy, we now have Sunday hours. So we now, for the first time since the early 90s, are open 7 days a week. And I can not tell you the number of dads especially have talked to me. I mean, we're also busy. You work Monday through Friday. Saturday, you have running errands, all the sporting events, you know, soccer and t-ball, tailgating, of course. So Sunday afternoon is a time when you can come to the library maybe before church or after church or before Mass. mass. And, you know, again, I was so pleased that the dads who've talked to me about spending time with their children at the library on Sunday.
I bet that's very rewarding to hear that. It is. So exciting that our library is open, like you said, pretty much 24/7.
It is.
So that's exciting. Let's talk a little bit, too, about some outreach that you guys do in the community as far as the library and how you're giving back as a library itself.
You know, we partner with a number of organizations in the library, from everything from United Way to the Chamber. We work very close with the schools. We have a program called Lit Over Lunch with teenagers at the high school where they, you know, read a book and they get some pizza, and that's been a great thing. We also partner with the high school on our teen tech help. We could not offer the level of tech assistance without those teenagers. It's on Wednesdays, so if you're interested, call and make an appointment. These young folks come in and they fear no technology device. People bring in their iPads and their Kindles and their smartphones, and they really do a great job. And, you know, the spirit of volunteerism in this community to me is outstanding. And, you know, there's so many other groups that we work with. Yesterday, you know, we were part of all the celebrations for Halloween, and we watched the kids come through the library to different stations. We got to hand out Play-Doh, little tiny cartons of Play-Doh at the reference desk. So that was really
fun.
Yes.
Great. And so, speaking of kids, I know that you have a really strong youth department there, kids department, children, whatever you call it. But Joa LaVille is very instrumental in encouraging and bringing kids and embracing them into the library.
We do. We have an amazing team, Joa and Teresa and some other staff, and of course volunteers, from the littlest ones, baby rhyme time and toddler, to the volunteers, as I mentioned, do an awesome job. I think we had over 1,100 children in our summer reading program. To see the amount of books that these children read, and the gift that they most wanted, the prize was books. So it was really fun to see that they really wanted a book as their prize. And then, of course, you know, we work with all kinds of groups. Lots of groups come in, lots of programming, especially in the summer. You know, everything from the Magician to the Blank Park Zoo. Sometimes some of our children don't get to Des Moines, even to the zoo. So it's really exciting we can do things like that. And those are things that are, a lot of those are supported, especially by our service clubs here in the city.
That's good to know. There's a lot of things I just learned about your outreach. So thank you for all the service that you provide our community. The other thing, I think people, if you haven't been to the library, I would encourage anybody to come to the library, because really library is for life. You know, you start out in life and you can be in the library all through your lifetime. But you have a really nice collection of art. And I think that it would be interesting to share that with the listeners.
We do. We have 10 pieces of public art that were either purchased or donated when the library opened almost 8 years ago. My favorite piece is the hanging chandeliers in the lobby. It looks like Harry Potter's or butterflies or bicycles. It's fun to watch the kids. But we have some wonderful art all over the building. We're happy to give you a little informal tour, and we have a brochure about the art. And we're planning, hopefully at some point, we're going to have some public art outside. So we're looking forward to working on that project.
Great. And I think that one thing I think the listeners, and I want to make sure that we make that we cover this, is you had a partnership that you did with Grin City, and you had, would you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, we did partner with the Grin City Art Co-op. They brought in writers and poets from around the country. We had a wonderful writer who came to the library, talked to our community members, and created an original poem that so speaks to all of the immigrant heritage of our family. My family came 100 years ago from Eastern Europe. It's a wonderful poem. It's in English, it's in Spanish, and it's Burmese, and it's in the cafe, and you can actually see it if you drive on the south side of the building. You can see the letters. I think it looks like a piece of art, and then you can come in and you can read the poem, and I tell you, it will really speak to you, and it's been a wonderful, another wonderful collaboration.
And that's a beautiful piece, and I would encourage folks, if you haven't seen it, take the time to go to the library, look at the art, and see that poem. But we'll take one quick more break, and we'll be back for our final segment of the Marshalltown Icons.
Marshalltown is the perfect destination for fabulous fall activities. There are dozens of activities going on in Marshalltown. Gather your friends and enjoy autumn events through November. Celebrate the life and big screen success of Gene Seberg at the Orpheum Theater November 4th and 5th. Take a trip back in time and celebrate the history, nostalgia, warmth, and simplicity of holidays gone by at the premier event of the holiday season in Marshalltown, the Downtown Holiday Stroll on Saturday, November 19th. Tour historic downtown Marshalltown as you've never seen it before with vendors, classic decor, costumes, and entertainment to kick off the Central Iowa holiday season. Also on that Saturday, celebrate the Marshall County Courthouse 130th anniversary. Follow the history, the magic, and the wonder of Marshalltown and much of Central Iowa at events throughout the region. For more information on these and many more events, go to the Marshalltown Convention and Visitors Bureau website. Visit marshalltown.org.
Have you seen what Steve Sodders has been up to in Des Moines?
Oh, do you mean the infamous Sodders spending spree? I sure have. I can't believe Sodders voted to spend nearly $600,000 on a free trolley service for lobbyists.
And there was the $1 million Steve Sodders voted to spend on that exclusive Des Moines golf tournament.
Not to mention the $1 million Sodders wanted to put towards that stadium parking lot in Des Moines.
The one that really gets me, though, is that Steve Sodders put over $1 billion in new debt on Iowa families.
I'm with you there. Thankfully, this November, we get a chance to stop Steve Sodders' spending spree for good.
What do you mean?
This year, we can vote for Jeff Edler, a local farmer and small businessman who's promised to reduce taxes, eliminate state debt, and stop the wasteful spending in Des Moines.
That settles it. Jeff Edler is the right choice for state Senate this November.
Paid for by the Republican Party of Iowa, approved by Jeff Edler.
Welcome back. It's the Icon Show, our Marshalltown Icons program hosted by Val Ruff, our Convention and Visitors Bureau Director, Sarah Rosenblum joining us. We're talking about the library.
We are. We're talking about the history of our library and all the great things that our library is offering for us in today's world, all the crazy social media and digital and electronics. And so Sarah is going to cover with us this segment. We're going to talk a lot about the different services that you might not think are available at the library. So I'll let Sarah take it away.
Okay. One of the things that I really want people to know about the library is we are open virtually 24 hours a day, and we have great online resources. If you wake up on Sunday morning and you want to fix your car, you can go to the library's website and go to our Automobile Reference Center, and you can download a wiring diagram for a 57 Chevy, or you can find electronic starter information. So please remember that. It's a great resource. But we also have digital music. So there's this wonderful program called Freegal, where you can download 3 songs a week and you get to keep them. And then we have Zinnia, which is our magazine database. So everything from Good Housekeeping and Us Weekly to Smithsonian to New Yorker. I love when I'm going on a trip. I put a lot of magazines on my iPad, my tablet, and then I sit on the plane and I can flip through the whole magazine and read it. And again, you check that out and you keep it on your tablet until you're done with it and then you delete it. Of course, we have ebooks are really popular, downloadable audiobooks. Lots of people I know put them on their device, their smartphone. Maybe they're working out at the Y or they're taking a walk. So that's really popular. And then, of course, for our commuters, and a lot of commuters we know swear by the audiobooks and they just really make that journey fly. So there's a lot of exciting things going on and resources, and we have so much that we can help you with.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I just thought of, Sarah, that I think is important to share with our listeners this morning is that you have meeting space. If you want to talk a little bit about how you offer that, and I know that it's utilized a lot.
It is. I know that was one of the major components of a new library building. We do have a great large meeting room that can be divided into two, and we have some smaller meeting spaces and study rooms. Many nonprofits and civic groups meet at the library on a regular basis. We host all kinds of meetings also for the state, which is great because of our central location in the state and great parking. But definitely, if you're interested in a meeting room, again, you can look on our website or give us a call. But we really like to have everything. We have the 20th Century Club, we have book groups, we have all types of things that happen at the library. And there's, just last week, we had a great reception for our altered books, and those are now on display at the library's cases. So please come check those out. And we, of course, have a lot of library programs for the public, and those are always free and open to the public.
What a great resource our library is. And thank you, Sarah, for all the work that you do for our community and that all your volunteers do to make the library a great resource. It's a beautiful library. We're very fortunate to have it. The other thing that I want to make sure that we mention here is that Sarah and I sit on the Marshalltown Public Art Committee, and we have a new piece of public art that's coming to the Roundhouse, and I understand that there is a sketch, or what do you call it?
A little model.
A model, yes. That was the word, thanks. And it's to scale, and yes. It's a pretty good size, and that's going to be housed at the library. So if you're curious about what Drills is going to look like, it'll be at the library. So you can go down to the library and take a quick look at it. So before we go.
You know, well, real quick, while we've got Sarah here, you know, the Dust Bowl display that you guys had, occasionally you will get traveling displays that come through. I know there was one. Oh, I can't think. There was a bus in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Was that part of the?
That was another, project that we brought to the library. I was very proud of the Dust Bowl. We were one of only 25 sites around the country to host the Dust Bowl exhibit, and the only site in Iowa. And so we're always looking to bring programs and resources to the library. So if you hear of something, maybe you saw something in another library, or somebody told you, you know, a family said, hey, at our library in Urbana, we had this. So we're definitely always interested in bringing programs, educational, cultural, and then some just plain fun.
Yeah. And you kind of have a mini performance series that has come recently. You've had actors, and you've had music come through.
We have, and we're continuing to do that, and some of that's really helped by, some of that is supported by the Friends, and then also our library levy money. So we really are a cultural center. We work hard. People say, you know, there is a lot going on in Marshalltown. Sometimes it's hard for us to find a date, because we certainly don't want a conflict with something at the Orpheum or something at the Fisher Community Center, but we're very interested in bringing arts and culture for all ages, like I said, from babies and toddlers up to our active power users, that people that come to the library every day. And so we're always very open to programming. Please let me know if you hear of something good.
Great. Go ahead, Val. You got like 3 minutes.
Okay.
Here.
So I just want to again encourage the listeners, if you haven't been to the library, if you don't make it a part of your routine, I would encourage you to get out and go to the library, because Sarah's doing a great job, her and her staff. The other thing that you mentioned that we don't want to put the schedule things on top of other things that are going on in the community. And I would just want to take that opportunity to plug the Convention and Visitors Bureau's calendar of events. It's an online self-posting calendar. And so if you've got an event that is open to the public, please go on to, we have a new website now, along with our new brand and logo. So it's marshalltown.org. And then you click on the event, and I'll take you to the event calendar. You scroll to the bottom of the page and you click new entry. You fill in, I think there's like 10 forms that you just type in and fill it in. Put a short description of your event. If you want to upload a flyer or anything, and then you just put submit your entry. It's that easy. Once it's put on the calendar, it's also put on the electronic sign in the Hy-Vee parking lot, and we also add it to our Facebook page, and we're always promoting things that are going on in the community. So if you haven't been on that calendar, if you're looking for things to do, you will be amazed at how packed the calendar is with great things to do in the community. And I think, Sarah, before we go, you have something coming up next week on November 3rd.
We do, and I can tell you, I use that calendar a lot. We are hosting a nationally known illustrator, Gary Kelly, from UNI, but he has done work for major magazines like Rolling Stone, Atlantic, U.S. Postage Stamps, and he's going to talk about his art creation. He's illustrated a number of books, and so we're very excited. At 5 o'clock, we're actually going to have a mead tasting at the library from a local meadery, Buzz B. If you haven't had mead, that's a wonderful experience. And then please come and see Gary Kelly. It's going to be a great talk. He's going to have some of his art on display. And there'll hopefully be a book signing, so it'd be a great time to pick up that holiday gift. He's got a new book out on Navajo Code Talkers, wonderful illustrations by Gary, and such an important part of our history, and I know to our community, I think this will be very meaningful. So please come to the library on November 3rd at 5 for the mead tasting and Gary's talk at 6.
And Busby Meadery is the only mead, only in Iowa, so come and taste their mead, because it's really good. Thanks a lot, and next week we have, I'm not going to tell you, you'll have to just listen.